Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. When I was growing up, I learned to play the guitar. First, I was taught classical, but soon that gave way to just wanting to play chords so I could strum and sing folk songs. If you have never sung "Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore" or "Puff, the Magic Dragon Lives by the Sea" or the classic "Kumbaya," well, then there's some deprivation in your life. For me, singing certain folk songs connected me with others or simply gave me joy. There have been seasons when the slow ballad of a folk song gave meaning to the feelings that I had for what was going on in the world. One of the earliest folk songs that empowered people was "We Shall Overcome." It was a signature song of the civil rights movement. Tomorrow, we honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the civil rights leader that ignited passion for racial equality that continues to this day. He believed in grace. He believed in the movement of God. He believed in a dream that became more and more public. In Martin Luther King Jr., we see a life given to God for the sake of something bigger than himself. He truly witnessed to a line from our second reading: "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." He marched, spoke, and dreamed for the common good of us all. He allowed a burden on his heart to change the course of his life. Last Sunday, we repeated our baptismal covenant and proclaimed we believe in the dignity of every human being. Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr., and John F. Kennedy believed in the dignity of every human being. Their assassinations fanned the flame of endurance and hope. Within months of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., a folk song was written by Richard Holler that still moves my heart. "Has anybody seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me he's gone. He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend Jesus? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. I just looked around. He is not gone. Jesus is right here in each one of you. I added the verse about Jesus because his spirit lives, as does the legacies of Abraham, Martin, and John. Jesus is right here because, as we heard in Paul's Corinthian letter, to each of us has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This hidden, powerful, eternal Spirit is in each of us, inviting livable spiritual freedom, not just for ourselves, but for the good of all. When I say on Sundays, during the announcements, we are in this together, this is what I'm talking about. We are in it together by one and the same Spirit, for the one mission of Jesus, a liberating mission. We each have different gifts, but the same Spirit, to share life and love, gifts and talents, that others might more fully live. And when I say more fully live, I mean in a freedom from inner fears and addictions and outward prisons and prejudices. The Spirit of God triggers a spark, a vision, a passion to step forward in faith. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you do not see the whole staircase." We really cannot see the whole staircase of our lives. In fact, all we can do is put one foot in front of the other. We do not know what really lies ahead, even though we have calendars and contracts and commitments. And so did Jesus live, one foot in front of the other. So wasn't Jesus surprised on the third day of a week-long wedding feast? But first, an important sidebar. They had wedding feasts for a week back in those days rather than a honeymoon. People would stay for a week of celebration, so the host needed to really provide. But friends and family also provided, because their feasts were the original potlucks. Guests brought their finest and shared. But in this gospel, we have a problem. The wine ran out. Yet we witness the Spirit of God in action using the mother of Jesus first. She called forth the gifts and the power that Jesus had to give, Yet, Jesus was reluctant to reveal that part of himself to the wedding guests. But this was his mother, and he obeys. Away from all the partying and the noise, Jesus allowed that inner activation of God and quietly turned water into wine. I wish that I could have been there. I wish I could have seen that miracle, could have tasted that fine wine. Wondering now, was it a Burgundy or a Chardonnay or maybe champagne? After all, it was a wedding. Champagne would have been perfect. I wish I'd been there to taste it. I wish I'd been there too, to see Jesus at work. I wish that I could have been there, because sometimes I need to recharge my faith. I need a reboot. But if I'm honest, I have seen Jesus at work. Jesus has been at work in my life for years. And when I look out at this congregation and look at all of you, I know that Jesus has been at work in your life. Yet maybe today you do not feel like fine wine, but rather like water just sitting in a clay jar. Well, today, I invite you to believe in the Spirit within. Believe you are called into the liberating work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Believe you are never alone in the work ahead. Because Abraham, Martin, and John are with us through the communion of saints filling this church. We are in this together, seeking a new way for justice and freedom, the dignity of every human being. And so I pray, may the one who turned water into wine make impossible things come to pass. May we find strength for the journey and joy in the struggle, the activating Spirit within us. Amen.